Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Once that's done, yeah, the day after, I'm going to be pushing to say, call a vote on immigration reform. If I have to join with other advocates and continue to speak out on that and keep pushing, I'm going to do so because I think it's really important for the country and now's the time to do it.
President Obama is so out of control that after bankrupting America even further than it was bankrupt by pushing this grotesque welfare state budget down the throats of the American people and buying votes, including, by the way, votes from the so-called Republican side, Mitch McConnell, the fraud, got a $2 billion pork barrel earmark for his state of Kentucky. So what I've told you for years now, there's a one-party system, an oligarchy. Was I wrong? Do you think the Republican mainstream really didn't want the deal ever? They were holding out for some, basically some graft, some pork barrel spending. Let me repeat, McConnell, Republican, got $2 billion as an earmark for construction in Kentucky. Now, as we speak, the House of Ill Repute is voting. As we speak, the madman in the White House says he's now going to tomorrow begin pushing for amnesty for 11, 24, 35, 50 million illegal aliens. You cannot believe the madness of this president of ours. This is a man out of control. He's a runaway train. His ego is out of control. His madness is out of control. His narcissism is out of control. Who would wreck a country like this in the name of a radical leftist internationalist agenda and keep pushing and pushing and pushing unless he wanted to trigger a civil war? The people can only take so much. People will snap. They cannot take this. Listen to the big lie in clip two from President Obama.
This is not just a Latino issue. This is an American issue. We know our economy will grow faster if immigration reform passes. We know businesses will do better if immigration reform passes.
What?
We know that the deficits will be reduced.
Are you crazy?
Immigration reform passes because people coming out of the
shadows. All right, let's stop here. Do you actually believe that when Obama says these things, he believes a word of them? I don't really want to talk about it. You know he's lying. You know he's lying. It's as simple as that. Now, as we speak, as I say, the House of Ill Repute is voting, and here are the questions of the day. Who was the big winner? Who was the big loser? Is Ted Cruz stronger or weaker? Who was the big winner in this big budget battle? Who was the big loser in this big budget battle? And is Ted Cruz stronger or weaker? These are some of the questions that I will be covering on the Savage Nation, as well as disclosing to you, we read the bill. We got a copy of it. There is hidden graft in Obama's budget deal that would make Don Corleone blush. The graft in the Obama budget deal would make Tony Soprano shy to not believe that people could get away with this, including $2 billion for pork barrel construction spending in the Republican Mitch McConnell's home state of Kentucky. But there's much more than that. The graft in Obama's budget bill is nauseating. Now, last night, as the show evolved, I had Plan C. Plan A was Obama's welfare state bill. Plan B was shut it down and keep it down. And Plan C was Savage's idea, which is default on the debt. Default on the debt and tell China to go pound rice. I want you to listen to what I said yesterday, and then I'm going to ask you again on the Savage Nation three questions. One, because this is going to come up again in a very short period of time. They've just kicked the can down the road for a few months. It's going to come up again in a few months. And when it does, I suggest that they let we default on our debt. Period. We defaulted on debt for reasons I've explained. And don't think I'm just saying it for effect. I've studied the issue. I believe there are stronger arguments to be made for default, historical models. And I want you to listen and answer my question. Who was the big winner? Who was the big loser? Is Ted Cruz stronger or weaker? And should we default on our debt? The phone number is 855-400-7282. Now, listen to my explanation of default. There's another position the Republicans could take, by the way, which is defaulting on our national debt. Why can't we just not pay the Chinese? After all, they didn't earn all of the money, honestly. I mean, think about this. You know, no one's ever said it. Argentina's defaulted how many times now? There still is Argentina. Buenos Aires is a beautiful city. The Argentinians have the tango. The Argentinians have the pampas. The Argentinians still have a country. Somehow they defaulted, and we still do business with them. My father was an honest businessman, but he told me that there were men who were not so honest, and he used to tell me about them. Again, I'll go back to what I learned. He would say they were a little bigger than him in business, by the way. He would tell me, he said, did you hear what Abe did? The other guy owned the bigger store. I said, no. He went bankrupt. I said, oh, that's terrible. He's going to be in the street. He's going to be wearing a dead man's pants. His children won't. He said, no, 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 he said. He declared bankruptcy, he said, chapter 11, and he said the people that he said he couldn't pay are still anxious to do business with him. I said, what? And he would smile. He said, yeah, he said, that's how the system works. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, the people who he said he cannot pay are lining up around the corner to still do business with him because they want to do business with him in order to stay in business themselves. They have to do business with him. I said, what do you mean? He just wipes out the money he owes them? He said, yes, and they're anxious to do business with him. So he said, every few years, Abe goes bankrupt, and they continue to do business with him, and Abe kept getting fatter and richer. Now, my father didn't work in that realm of business. He never declared bankruptcy. He paid his bills on time. He wrote whatever. Everything was balanced with him. He never bought anything on time. In those days, he thought you were cheating if you bought a car on credit. Would you believe it? Like if a neighbor bought a bigger car than he had, he would say, I'll bet he bought it on time. He's cheating. See, he figured you pay for what you can afford, and that's the way he lived, and that's how I was brought up. Now, I'm not saying we should pay for what we can afford, because most of us would be in the poorhouse if that's all we could afford. We wouldn't even be driving cars. We'd be sitting on a mule if we could afford that. I understand the credit system. It's actually quite brilliant. But what we have here is a unique situation. And I say we should consider bankruptcy, defaulting on the debt. Because I can guarantee you as I stand here, the countries that have outmaneuvered us because they bought off the politicians who are now bankrupting us by trading against us with currencies that were valued too low, by not paying proper duties on imports, by rigging the system, by flooding America with junk products to drive our own manufacturers out of business, I say default on their debt. And I can guarantee you they'll be in line to do business with us the next day. Just a thought from an American talk show host. What do you think of that idea? Should we default on our debt? I realize that what I said tonight is provocative, and it's meant to be, but it's also to be considered because it's not off the table. And I'm saying default on our debt. We can't have a sovereign default. Because what happens is, you have to look at history to see what happens. Germany and France both defaulted 8 times since 1800. By the way, and the U.S. even failed to honor its obligations to the letter, I'm reading. In 1979, the United States was late making payments on about $122 million of bills. You hear? That's what Obama spends on one vacation, blaming technical difficulties that the Treasury said stemmed from a failure in word processing equipment. In 1935, the Supreme Court ruled that the federal government was within its rights to reject claims for payment in gold on bonds that gave holders the option to demand the metal. Why? Well, because the terms of the contract were not fully honored. Some would argue that was tantamount to a default. Going back in time, in 1790, the U.S. deferred interest payments on debt assumed by the new federal government until 1801. What about Argentina and Greece? Serial defaulters Argentina and Greece have retained political, if not economic, independence, and they have defaulted. Argentina failed to meet its commitments 5 times since 1951, and in 2001, Argentina gained the record for the largest ever restructuring. Did you know that? But that was beaten by Greece in 2012. Argentina's still there. Greece is still there. Including 2012, Greece has defaulted 6 times since 1826. So Russia itself has restructured. Russia halted payments on $40 billion of local debt in 1998. Do you know why? Because oil, its main export at the time, plunged 42% amid a global economic slowdown triggered by the Asian financial crisis. And by the time it devalued the ruble and defaulted that August, the government of Russia had drained about half its foreign reserves and made an unsuccessful bid to increase the $22 billion international aid package it had received. But then Russia restructured its debt. Russia restructured its debt. Argentina restructured its debt. Greece restructured its debt. What does that mean? It means they work out a deal with their lenders and they pay back a certain amount of money on the dollar, 10 cents on the dollar, a quarter on the dollar. So who loses on that? The dollar goes through the ceiling. Interest rates go up. People who have money in the banks suddenly are making money again on their interest. Borrowing becomes harder, yes. So what? Why should everyone in America be spending on things they can't afford? Where is it written that people have to have five cars and three vacations or four vacations a year? Where is it written that they have to have all of that gaudy jewelry? Where is it written that they must have these expensive things? Where is it written that that's the way we should live? I wasn't raised to live that way. If you can afford it, buy it. Good luck to you. But if you can't afford it, don't buy it with funny money because someone's going to pay for it anyway. So the banks oppose this, obviously. Wall Street opposes it, obviously. The Democrat government opposes it, obviously. But it doesn't mean that it can't be done. And I'm saying the U.S. situation today is pretty dire, but there's no reason we can't take option C, which is defaulting on our debt. The Panic of 1873, if you do a quick study, was one of the first great depressions in the Europe and the United States that lasted for about 6 years, 5 years. And what happened was the panic led to the Great Depression. And what led to it is you're not going to believe this. The Panic of 1873, which led to bank runs in New York and elsewhere, had several causes. And economic historians will tell you that the causes are not so dissimilar to what we are facing today. One, post-war inflation. We have post-war inflation under the surface in America that's been kept under control by Bernanke's money pumping. But we have inflation under the surface. Rampant speculative investments. You're telling me that Facebook stock is worth what Zuckerberg has made? Are you crazy? Rampant speculative investments. Then it was in railroads. Today it's in internet stocks, for example, such as Facebook. A large trade deficit. Does that ring a bell with you? A large trade deficit occurred at that time and led to this, etc. There are other factors that put great strains on the economy in 1873 that led to a crisis, that led to financial failure, that led to defaulting on our debt. And America recovered from it after that. It wasn't pleasant for everyone, but somehow it put a stop to insane spending by the government and by the people. And it straightened things out. It's like a disease. Do you understand that not all... This is something that's very hard for people to understand, but I learned it way back when I first went into the sciences of medical thinking, which is that not all diseases are bad for you. Some diseases are actually quite helpful. They help restore your health. A fever, for example. I learned very early on that if you're running a fever, let the fever burn. You don't put the fire out of your fever, because what the fever is doing is that your body trying to suppress through high temperature within some of the toxins or the microbes that are in your body. They can't live in such high temperatures and they die off. The fever is self-limiting and you're healed. But if you suppress that fever at the first sign of it with aspirin or acetaminophen, what you're doing is suppressing your immune system and your immune response. And what you're doing is you're building a deeper disease like cancer. Well, my friends, we have financial cancer. And Obama is the worst damn doctor imaginable.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
With the Senate amendments thereto, and I have a motion at the desk.
The clerk members will of the report House of the title of the bill, ill repute right designate now. The Senate amendments.
The members of the House of ill repute are negotiating the settlement within the House of Representatives.
Provision of premium and cost-sharing
it's
subsidies.
Disgusting. Turn it off. I don't want to hear them. They make my flesh crawl. I don't like their suits. I don't like their ties. I don't like their haircuts. I don't like their shirts. I don't like anything about them. Kids like that in high school, they were the worst rats. The kids in the high school, I'm going all the way back, who I hated the most, wound up in politics. They were usually the lowest of the low. And now they're running everything. So I have a simple answer for all of these rats, these bums, these thieves, these crooks, these Sopranos, these Don Corleones, these little mini Don Corleones. Give default a chance. Give default a chance. We have financial cancer in America, and Obama's the worst possible doctor we could ever have in charge of the operating room. Give default a chance. It's going to come up again and again and again. What do you think? Number two, who's the big winner? Who's the big loser? Is Ted Cruz stronger or weaker? This is the Savage Nation. as promised, the most skeptical show in radio, but don't think I just make this up out of whole cloth for effect. Has anyone else in the media discussed with you giving default a chance? The answer is no. No, they're all either A or B. Shut her down, don't shut her down. That's A, that's B. That's two-dimensional. I'm giving you a three-dimensional look at the picture. And in the X-ray crystallography of the spine of America, I see a cancer. And I say give default a chance. Agree or disagree? Let's begin on KSFO in San Francisco. Steve, welcome from my home station. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hey, Michael. How are you? Well, firstly, let's set the record straight that Don Corleone and Tony Soprano had some virtue. And these people have absolutely no virtue.
Well, I don't know whether they're drugged or what's wrong with them. Do they actually believe people are going to not see that Mitch McConnell, so-called Republican, held out for a $2 billion pork barrel construction project in his home state? They don't see this?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Some people see what they're shown. Some people don't see.
So in your mind, is Ted Cruz the winner or a loser? A winner or a loser?
Well, first I'm going to get into, is Ted Cruz a winner or loser? Absolutely, the facts are obvious. Number one, big winner.
But you didn't say, is he a winner or a loser in your mind?
Cruz is a big loser.
Why?
Well, because a week or so ago, he was at the center of an ostensibly impassioned filibuster.
Yes.
And today, I look at the guy, and he's a milquetoast character.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you. You're a very observant guy. It sounds like you're a friend of mine disguising your voice. Because you see the world the way I do. I mean, you look at people for your answers. You just don't come up with them based on what they say. Ted Cruz got what he wanted, which was, some will say he did the principled thing. Maybe there was some principle in it. But he got a lot of mileage and publicity out of this. But at the end of the day, America hates a loser. He is the picture of the loss. Am I right or wrong?
Got a question.
And I predict Ted Cruz's political career is over. I said it to you 2 weeks ago.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Oh, I'm back. I was playing my ukulele. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Let's see, which one of the criminals is speaking now? The worst curse that could happen to America now would be immigration reform, because that's the end of America as we know it. Pelosi, okay, we can't miss that. That's always good for a laugh.
Do not allow the fringe in your party, those disconnected from reality.
Look who's talking.
And whose sole goal is obstruction.
Come on, you're the fringe of the fringe.
Of this house.
Are you kidding? The agenda of criminality, are you kidding me?
Threaten the full faith and credit of the United States of America.
No, who is that?
Shut down the government.
I don't know, it looks like her, but a little heftier. They're all the same. A little on the hefty side. Who is that one? Nina Lowry or whatever? Why do they look so bad? Why do these women get such horrendous looks from being in Congress, hanging around with these? It's horrible. It's bad enough what happens to all of us as we get older. I mean, time and gravity unto itself are enough to make you not want to go on. But becoming a politician? It's the closest thing to suicide I can imagine as a lifestyle. Lying, cheating, and stealing every minute of your life. And believing that people respect you and they hate your guts. So I go back to my main question. Who was the big winner? Who was the big loser? Is Ted Cruz up or down? I mean, my feeling is Ted Cruz is toast. I said that a week or two ago. I liked Ted Cruz for a long while, and it's not that I don't like him because of this. I felt he was going to go by the way of Michelle Bachmann. About a month ago, I saw where this was going, and it wasn't over the shutdown necessarily. It was his, what's the word for it, when you jump out ahead of everyone else? Grandstanding. I felt that his grandstanding was going to be his undoing, and I believe I'm correct. I don't know who the big winner is here. People will say Obama is the big winner. I'm not so sure of that. I believe he has misspent his party's capital, and the American people hate Democrats more now than ever in American history. It doesn't mean they like Republicans. I didn't say that. but they hate the party of Obama. They hate them. I can prove it to you in many different ways. What do you think? Jeanette on WABC. Go ahead. Who's the big winner here?
Hello, Michael. Thank you for your truth. To me, the big winner is definitely Obama, and maybe Germany. But I think the big loser, I want to answer your questions, the big loser are the American people. And
very good. Now, what do you mean by Germany? I didn't follow that. Why would you say Germany's the big winner?
Well, because our currency will be extinct pretty soon if Obama... I do agree with you. We should default because you can't go... We just can't go on. It's astronomical.
That's right. In other words, how is this beast going to be fed in 3 months, in 6 months, in 9 months? Where is the new money going to come from? Higher taxes? There's a limit to that. If they taxed we, the working people, at 110% of our income, they still couldn't feed this beast for very long. The beast would still demand more. So the beast has to stop devouring everything in its path. And the only way to do that is default on our debt. That's my analysis, Jeanette.
I agree with you.
So what? What's the big what? What do you mean? We can't borrow after that? Nonsense. They'll line up around the JFK with their private jets to lend us money. Because they got no one else to lend it to. What do you mean they wouldn't lend us the money? And what is China going to do with its products? What do you think they're going to do, stop selling them to us? They'll come begging us to buy their crap.
Right.
Okay, right. And the Koreans will come begging us to buy their Hyundais if we defaulted on any of the sovereign debt with Korea. We'd say to them, sorry, don't have the money, can't help you. And by the way, we're putting a tariff on your cars, too, because we want to put our men back to work here in the United States of America. We want our assembly lines running again. We want to see Detroit vibrant again. We're putting a tariff on every car manufactured outside this country. Sorry, buddy. You don't like it? Go find another market. I am telling you that that's the way to cure the patient. Thanks for the call. One man's opinion. What do you think? What do you think? It's that simple. Andrew on WABC, go ahead, please.
I do think I disagree with you on the default. I'll explain why, but I think Ted Cruz was a big winner, and he actually reminded me of you today. I heard the audio on the radio, the CNN news anchor. They were playing Cruz, and they're like, quick, cut to the other camera, because Cruz was telling the truth, and he stood up like a man, and he told the truth about Obamacare. He wasn't just a go-along politician.
Smart. Well, here's the problem. You don't understand. I'm not saying he's a bad man. I don't think I made my point clear enough. As a result of him taking on the established criminal enterprise called the U.S. government, they have vilified him. Just as I was vilified and I'm banned from entering Britain, never forget that. Not for what I said, but for what I allegedly said and for spliced sound bites. I am still banned from entering England. Once a person is castigated by the media, it's almost impossible to come back from that position.
You're right, and I agree with your premise of bankruptcy, like Mitt Romney brought out in the campaign. Detroit should have a structured bankruptcy. The government could pay the salaries while they restructure. But that's a logical thing to do, but I don't see the politicians correcting themselves. They're just going to keep spending and spending and spending. So that's the only disagreement I have with.
Yeah, well, look, the problem is that Romney had a champagne campaign, which I just made up on the spot, wanting to sound like Jesse Jackson, and I think his champagne campaign undid him. But I'll tell you this, since you brought up the magical name of Romney, you want to hear another prediction on the Savage Nation right now?
Yeah.
I will predict that the dumb, stupid Republican Party will run Romney again and lose all over again against Hillary. That's my prediction. But let's not go into that. Do you think Cruz still has any political capital after this castigation by the media and by his own party?
I do, but the point that you brought out with the media attacking him, it's hard to overcome when they gang up on you.
That's right. Once they've made him into a terrorist, an Al-Qaeda, a nut, or this. Now, remember, this guy was the editor of the Harvard Law Review. He's an immigrant's son. He has everything that America is supposed to respect. He's a Latino, yet they spit on him because he's not a useful idiot Latino. It's the same with any other minority. If they step out of the Socialist Party line, they're no longer a minority. Look what they did to Alan West. So the point is that they have made him into what he isn't. They've put devil's horns on him. They have, in essence, turned him into a non-American. I don't think he can come back from this. Now, he'll always have a following. He'll always be very popular with a rather, I would say, almost small number of Americans. We'll always love him and revere him. I don't think he is a viable national politician. That's the problem here.
Sadly, you're probably right.
I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think he's going to go too far after this. What we saw as a result of this is that the midstream, mainstream, middle-of-the-road sellouts are very much in power, and they're not about to give up their power. Let me tell you a story, you and everyone else listening to the one and only Savage Nation. Many years ago, when I was a local talk show host, I was invited to Washington. It was a very big honor for me, I got to tell you. Do you know which congressman from California? It's when there were still Republican congressmen from California. And it was the singer who had become a congressman, Sonny and Cher, Sonny Bono, right. Sonny Bono invited me to, I was a real hot, you know, firebrand conservative on KSFO at the time, making big waves. It was a lot of fun. I was invited to Washington. And I went to the dining room, the congressional dining room. We had lunch with everyone. It was very thrilling for me. I'd never actually been there. It was when there was still hope in the state of California before it became an outright a socialist hellhole, a socialist prison is what the state's become, with broken roads and broken infrastructure and a one-party, one-newspaper system where every day is the same propaganda about the glorious great state of California, which is still bankrupt, by the way, and they tell you that it's everything's coming up roses. They're taxing the middle class out of this state. So I go to Washington, went to dinner, congressional dining room, and then we went to a private meeting behind closed doors, and I don't know who the gentleman was. It was one of the older guard Republicans, like an old walrus type. And he said to some of the young Turk Republicans, I'll never forget this as long as I live. He said, now, wait a minute. Listen to me, sonny boy. He said, you vote along the lines that we all want to go, or you're going to go out in the cold and you'll never come back. And he said, let me tell you something else. It's awfully cold out there, and once we throw you out there, you'll never, ever be back in the warmth of this particular club. He said that while I sat there. I will never forget it. But that's how the real world works. And make no mistake about it, the Republican club versus the Democrat club is how this government runs, which is why America is broken. Because we have two clubs, not two parties, no representation of the people. Taxation without representation is what we have. We have a civil war brewing in this nation, a sub rosa civil war. Let's pray to God it remains a sub rosa civil war. But I predict if Obama continues on his megalomaniacal, narcissistic, left-wing fanatical agenda, well, I'll stop right there. I predict nothing. I am not a prophet. I am a talk show host. So we'll go back to the callers because we've got some real good ones today. As we speak, the House of Ill Repute is continuing to pretend to vote. What do you think? Who's the winner? Who's the loser? Who's the winner? Who's the loser? Who's the winner? Who's the loser? Let's go to WSYR in Syracuse, New York. Jada, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. The American people are the losers. We're not playing with a full deck. We're only playing with half a deck. And just imagine playing a game of match with your child, okay? You know the deck's rigged. There are no matches in the game. You can't win. You're sitting there snickering, acting like a teenager sitting there trying to win over this kid, and you know that they...
Well, that's right, because it's a one-party oligarchy. There is no two-party system. We just saw that. McConnell pretended to be fighting, and he got a $2 billion pork barrel construction project for his home state. What does that tell us?
Exactly. I mean, if you're an American and have half a brain, you know that this was the outcome that was going to come out. The Republicans were going
to... I want to go back to my little grass shack in Kealakeua, Hawaii. No, I'm just joking. I may as well just play the ukulele on the show as much as listen to the politicians talk. That's as much as I think of them. I'd rather have a ukulele instructor give lessons on my show than listen to Ted Cruz give another speech. That's what I can say. This country is suffering from financial cancer. Let's put aside every other issue. Financial cancer is the disease, and Obama is not the oncologist for the job, in my opinion. Pat, on WMAL in Washington, D.C., what's on your mind?
Good evening, doctor. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say on your cancer comment, I disagree with you. Obama's not the oncologist. Obama is the host.
Oh, God. You're saying he's actually spreading the disease.
Sir?
Yes, I'm listening. Is that what you're saying?
I missed what you said to me. I'm sorry.
You're saying Obama is not the oncologist trying to cure the financial cancer. He is actually disseminating the cancer?
Yeah, he's the cause and the carrier.
Well, we'll let it go at that. It's interesting what people will say, and how can we account for everyone's opinion? We can. It's a large country with an awful large number of people. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. Well, we still are. We're not yet living in Stalin's Soviet Union. But give it time. Give fascism a chance, because it's just around the corner with the gathering of the ideas and the emails and the buddy lists. Give it a chance. Very soon we'll all be in the ex-Soviet Union. I don't know who Obama's Berrier would be, but everyone has their Berrier, and Stalin had his secret guy who ran the whole show, and in the end did him in. I don't know who that would be. I think I know. I think it's something to do with a rusty axle, but I'm not sure on that. KSFO, James, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. Thanks for taking the call. I wanted to suggest that I think that it's a little bit wrong to try and think that we need to shut down the debt ceiling and default on our debt. The main reason is because in the history that you cite, the debt was owned by foreign countries. 78% of our debt is owned by Americans.
Hold on. This is interesting, and I'm not here to debunk yet. I'm here to debate. What do you mean owned by Americans? By American units of banks, or what do you mean by Americans?
Usually by pension funds, by the people who have banked their money in a safe way. So the only way that Americans can save is you store cash, you buy property, you buy stock, or you buy bonds. And far and away, the safest investment has always been bonds.
Well, most of the people that I know who have any money at all have it in T-bills. They don't even have it in bonds nor in stocks. They have it in T-bills.
Those are treasury bonds. That's
correct. But you're saying the bonds would collapse? I'm not so sure of that. Right now, they're producing 0.1% interest.
Well, I think they would collapse, because what you're arguing, well, the fact is, neither one of us know, but in a default state, the lenders, the creditors line up to see who gets paid first.
It's like a bankruptcy. I agree with you. Okay, so who would be first, China?
It's going to be up to the courts to decide. It's not up to anyone else.
Okay, and as we know, the courts are corrupt, as we learned today. Actually, we learned yesterday that Ben Bernanke, the great architect of our economy, doesn't have to testify about the government's bailout of the company AIG, and that was because of a group of judges. A federal appeals court ruled Wednesday that Ben Bernanke did not have to testify about the government's bailout of AIG. So we can't expect any justice from the courts, that we know. They're just purchased like any lawyer.
Again, if you go to historical precedent, the American people have not owned the debt of their country as in the past as they do now. So if you default on our debt, the people you really hurt are the Americans.
I'm not so sure. I mean, there may be some validity to what you say. I am not certain you're 100% right. But it's a very interesting point, and I will look into it. Is that fair enough? I'll be right back at 6:50. It is 9:50 on the East Coast, 6:50 p.m. on the West. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This was one of the greatest disgraces in American history. When you see that the Republican Party, for example, and everyone's bashing them, but let's give you some specifics. McConnell made believe he was fighting the good fight. He held out for a $2 billion pork barrel construction project for his home state of Kentucky. $2 billion, the Olmsted Lock and Dam Authority, Energy and Water Development. It's right out of many movies about corruption we've seen in our lifetime, many TV series about corruption that are currently ongoing. This is naked corruption. This is something out of Huey Long. This is something out of, it's just something out of the corrupt playbook, and it's McConnell getting it from Reid. I want you to listen to Reid now congratulating McConnell for selling out. Listen.
Leader,
have Reid.
For his diligent efforts to reach this important agreement. Republican leaders' cooperation was essential to reaching an accord that could pass both chambers of Congress and also be signed by President Obama. As part of our agreement, in order to assure Congress continues the work of setting this country on a path of
fiscal stability. That's Harry Reid thanking his good friend, Mitch McConnell, for accepting a $2 billion construction project for his home state of Kentucky. What more do you need to know? This is right. This is life imitating art. This is a movie about America in its darkest moments. This is a movie yet to be made about when America was taken over by a group of gangsters who still put on an act after they pillaged the Treasury, still pretended that they were good people, still pretended they were ladies and gentlemen. It's like icing on a cake filled with cyanide. It's like icing on a cake filled with a poison. And yet we see the bakers out there still putting icing on this cake, telling us to come have a slice. Yes, I would have been a good cartoonist, wouldn't I? But I can't draw a line. I am a verbal cartoonist, in a way. And that's the story. Hidden graft in Obama's budget deal made the deal happen. They're kicking the can down the road. And take a guess who wants the can not kicked down the road. Warren Buffett wants the debt ceiling raised. Well, you'll hear.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, you know, I think that if you look at my track record over the last 4 years, I have consistently sought compromise, sometimes to the point where Democrats have been mad at me, but I didn't care because I did what I thought was best for the country.
I think it's obvious that we are now seeing the end of this agonizing odyssey that this body has been put through, but far more importantly, the American people have been put through. It's one of the more shameful chapters that I have seen in the years that I've spent here in the Senate.
Well, I rest my case. McCain calling this one of the more shameful chapters. I would say John McCain is one of the more shameful chapters in the history of the Senate, but hey, that's one man's opinion. And Obama, of course, we could say many things, and why try to be a wise guy? We know what he's doing. We know he's a radical extremist. We know that he's basically bankrupted the American Treasury. We know that he's a tax-and-spend Democrat of the socialist variety, to put it in a mild and acceptable manner. And we know that the Republican Party is a go-along, get-along group of grifters just like the Democrats, and we can prove it tonight very easily because Mitch McConnell, who I call the gobbler, because if you look at his neck, he looks like a turkey, sounds like a turkey, walks like a turkey, made believe he was putting up a good fight, but the gobbler, McConnell, was just holding out for a boondoggle, and he got it. He got a $2 billion earmark for a building project in his home state of Kentucky. So it goes back to the oligarchy, the one-party system, and you then have a small group of new Republicans, call them Tea Party, call them conservative, whatever, who do represent the best interests of the American taxpayer. I didn't say the American people, because the American people includes the welfare class, it includes the government handout class, it includes the contractor class, it includes the government employee class. So there's a very wide group of people when you say the American people. I would say that this small group of Republicans who try to stand up to this evil beast represent the American taxpayer. There's no other way to put it. I make it very, very pointedly limited in what I'm saying to you. I would make my positions much stronger than mere economic, although economic, the economic positions are very important. To me, it's borders, language, and culture. Borders, language, culture. Borders, language, culture. I haven't heard one word from any of the Tea Party members about the other issues. They're very, very good on what they're talking about, but they're not strong enough on the borders, language, culture issue. No one is talking about the American culture. No one's talking about family values anymore. No one is talking about the bigger issues than mere money. And there are many big issues, such as the degradation of the Catholic Church by the administration, the denigration of the Christian ministries within the military. No one is talking about what this man has done to religion in this country. And if you think religion is finished, then you can just kick it away, you're mistaken. You don't know how strong the religious center is of this country. You may think it's gone away because of the anti-American, anti-religion, anti-family members of the media and of Congress, but they haven't gone anywhere. Religion is as strong as ever in this country. They have no representation in Congress anymore. None whatsoever. So I'd like to see those issues discussed. When I say borders, language, and culture, you could apply the religion issue to the last word of that of those three. The questions of the day remain the same, and they are these. Who was the big winner? Who was the big winner? And has Ted Cruz won or has he lost? And while you're calling me, there's only one open line at 855-472-82 on the Savage Nation, I'd like you to listen to Warren Buffett, who I consider to be one of the shadiest characters in American history. Now, he has a good act. He has a very good act. The middle-of-the-road man in the sweater with the little car who doesn't really spend his money. Terrific act. I'm very proud of it. It's a fabulous act. But he's in the White House a little too often for me. He's gotten too many sweetheart deals from Obama for me. And he's benefited a little too much for me. And he's also blocking some of the most important energy projects in the country because of his own interests. For example, the Keystone XL pipeline is opposed by Warren Buffett because his railroad cars, one of the companies he owns, is a railroad, railroad cars. They carry oil from Canada to the United States. He does not want the Keystone XL pipeline. Therefore, because he doesn't want it, Obama doesn't want it. Listen to what Warren Buffett said today about the debt ceiling in clip 7.
Well, I am concerned about kicking the can out of the road anyhow. The can should disappear, I mean, in terms of the debt ceiling. You can argue about budgets. That's the job of Congress, argue about budgets. But the idea that you're going to just reenact this present scenario 2 months from now is crazy. Get rid of the debt ceiling would be the best thing. But enact a long-term debt ceiling with a big number if they want. And then get back to arguing about the other thing.
Do you hear what this man just said? With his Holmesy, Jesse Jackson-like garbled voice, get rid of the debt ceiling? Now, how would you like to get rid of your debt ceiling, the average American worker? Would you like to get rid of your debt ceiling? Would you like to be able to call up your bank, let's say the bank that holds your credit cards or the bank that's given you a loan, a couple of loans on your property? Would you like to say, hello, Mr. Banker, can you please just get rid of my debt ceiling? Can you let me borrow any amount of money I want, sir? Do you think the banker would say what Warren Buffett just said? So if it doesn't apply to you as an individual, why should it apply to a nation, Warren? The answer to this is that Warren Buffett is not fooling anybody. Warren Buffett should reread his Lincoln, who said you can fool some of the people some of the time and some of the people all the time. But old Warren, you can't fool all of the people all of the time. And let me tell you something else, Mr. Buffett. You can't fool the savage people any of the time. The reason you want the debt ceiling eliminated is because you've never had it so good under this president who does exactly what you want, in my humble opinion. Now listen to clip 8 from old Warren Buffett.
I personally think a majority will do the right thing before very long. If they don't, they're out of their minds. But I don't think they are. I think they will do the right thing. You either pay your bills or you don't pay your bills. You're either a deadbeat or you're somebody that whose credit can be counted on. And for, like I say, we've built up a wonderful reputation over 237 years. And to have these people blow it would be a terrible mistake.
Did you hear what he just said? Does that make sense to you? You're either a deadbeat or you're somebody whose credit can be counted on? See me, by raising the debt ceiling, you're suddenly a fine person, Mr. Buffett? You're a deadbeat. What you're doing is, under the current of all of this, is there's a hyperinflation that's being manipulated by the Federal Reserve Bank. You don't have to be an economics genius to know what they're doing. They're artificially keeping interest rates near zero. They're artificially pumping money into the economy in order to buy votes and buy jobs. They're artificially throwing sugar into a diabetic's mouth is what they're doing. Let me put it in another way. If I were a caricaturist, America would be a gigantic, bloated character who is suffering many diseases, including diabetes. Someone whose feet are so large he can hardly walk. His thighs are rubbing together. He's a disgusting, obese individual. And he has diabetes in a very advanced stage. And he goes to the doctor who says to him, why don't you just eat a couple of pounds of sugar a day when you feel tired? It'll give you some energy for a while. And let's just kick that debt ceiling down the road. Let's just raise the debt ceiling as high as we can. Let's not worry about sugar and diabetes. Let's just keep pumping a sucrose into your system. That's what Warren Buffett and Barack Obama's economic policies are based upon. At least that's one man's opinion. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I think that Republicans even forgot what they were shutting down government for. But I was here in the 90s, and I saw...
That's all, folks.
Shut down government, which was what about saving face
for
the Speaker.
Turn off the Bugs Bunny of American politics, Nancy Pelosi. Republicans forgot what they were shutting government down for. Mrs. Pelosi, I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent conservative. And the people were shutting down the government because your spending is out of control. We are bankrupt, Madam Pelosi. We are bankrupt. No one's forgotten what it was about. Maybe you've forgotten that there are actually people out there. Here are some of the headlines on the Savage Nation, around the nation. Senate votes to reopen government, avoid default. I think the Congress just also voted for it. In New Jersey, Democrat Booker wins U.S. Senate election in New Jersey. Let us see. Four dead after boat capsizes off Florida coast. Rare whale found dead in Southern California. Damn, another Obama voter. Fool's errand or heroic stand, GOP on Cruz and Lee. Arlington Cemetery will allow small mementos. Washington State approves rules for pot industry. A joke, Washington State. The once great state of Washington, pot industry. Well, anyway, there we are. 855-400-7282. There's one open line. You know the questions. You're the callers. KKOH Nevada. Joseph, you're on the show. What's on your mind, Joseph? Go ahead, please.
Michael, excited talking to you, and the still great city of San Francisco and once great publication called The Chronicle. You are the new Herb Cain.
Well, that's interesting. Some have said that. Now you're going to attack me, but okay, I get it. You're setting me. I'm joking. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not setting you up, Michael. What I'm trying to get at is Harry Reid was elected by the Republicans of Nevada. The powerful Republicans put him here. He is the backbone of the Democrat Party and the utter doings, why Mitch McConnell probably got his $2 billion sweetheart deal. And he is the cleverest, craftiest politician on the Hill today.
Okay. So your point is Harry Reid is the winner.
He's the winner. He got what he wanted out of this. And
well, what did Harry Reid want out of this? Where is the pork barrel spending for Nevada in the bill?
He'll get it somewhere or the other.
Interesting. I don't see it in the summary of the continuing appropriations resolution for 2014. I did find the $2 billion Olmstead Lock and Dam Authority for Mr. McConnell. But if you look at some of the other boondoggles in here, it's frightening, by the way. Office of Refugee Settlement, they got a big piece of this. Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority. This is unbelievable. If you look through this, you'll see the kind of pork barrel spending I've been talking about. Payments to widows and heirs of deceased members of Congress. That was a straight-out piece of graft for Senator Frank Lautenberg's widow, a very wealthy woman. You know all of this, right?
Sure.
So how do you feel today? I don't know. You know, Joseph, we don't know each other, and I don't know whether you're a Dem or a Pub, an independent. How do you feel today?
How do I feel today? I feel that we have to lead from inside. We have to pretty much tell Capitol Hill that we could run our own lives. We don't.
They're not going to. But you see, Joseph, we have no power. We found out, if we found out anything from this, we found out that we have no representation. If we found out anything from this, we found out that we have a political structure that is more disconnected from the people than ever in American history. If we found out anything from this, we found out that they could care less what the people think. If we found out anything from this, we know that the next election is already rigged and the winner has been selected. Thank you for the call. That's all I'm going to divulge tonight on this Savage Nation. It's funny he would say that I'm the new Herb Cain, because some people have said that. Now, I don't know if that's a blessing or a curse, because I never wanted to be the old Herb Cain, let alone the new Herb Cain. As far as I was concerned, Herb Cain was just an old lush who ate and drank for free in San Francisco, and that certainly is not something that I have ever aspired to. No siree, Bob. In fact, I don't even go to San Francisco much anymore. I try to stay out of San Francisco as often as frequently. I don't go there as much. People think that I'm like walk around and I have the, you know, collar on them. And I don't go to San Francisco much. I stay away from it. I don't go into the Italian restaurants I used to go into. They're just pasta mills. I don't enjoy them anymore. I mean, be honest with you. I'm not putting anyone down in particular. I don't go near the places I used to like. I've lost. Let me give you an example, since I'm a little distracted right now. Last Sunday, there was a Columbus Day parade that they have every year, and I happen to admire the Italian community and what they've done and what they built in this city. I didn't go to the Columbus Day parade. Do you know why? I didn't go because I didn't want to see Nancy Pelosi riding around on a float. I didn't go because I didn't want to see the other politicians who I absolutely despise riding around on floats waving to the people. Years ago, I sat outside a particular restaurant in the Italian district during the Columbus Day parade, and a despicable member of the local board of supervisors went by on his carriage, waving and kissing the crowds. Well, I was a local host, and I guess I was a little wilder than I am today. I was sitting drinking a white wine outside one of the restaurants. I took my glass of wine, and I went up to him, and I said, sir, I didn't say sir, I used another word. I said, may I offer you a glass of hemlock? Well, you should have seen the mask fall off his face. Yes, indeed. So I don't really enjoy going and lauding liberals. What's even worse is I don't like to see people who, to me, they say they're conservatives to my face, and yet they kiss the fingers and the rings of Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, and the other superb leaders of the community, the very leaders who are destroying the community of North Beach. I can't take the hypocrisy. I'd rather sit home with a box dinner and my dog, frankly, and watch a Sopranos rerun than sit in San Francisco and put up with that anymore. So I'm not interested in becoming anybody's repeat. There's another topic I wanted to bring up in addition to politics. You know I'm a boater, right? And I've talked about my boats for years. I sold my big boat about a month ago, and it left today. The owner is from out of state. He's a lovely man. He bought my boat. Today he took off. I was down there from 8 in the morning till 9. And I said goodbye to an old friend. The dog and I walked around it. Teddy kept wanting to go on it to leave. He thought we were going on a trip. And he was provisioned up with two captains. He was taking it down the coast to Mexico, to Ensenada. And then it goes aboard. It gets shrink-wrapped, put aboard a ship through the Panama Canal, goes to Fort Lauderdale, and goes to his home in the Caribbean. And I wished my friend, my old friend, a goodbye. And it was a kind of bittersweet goodbye to an old friend. I've had a lot of every scar in that boat I remember, every scratch. And I thought about it. One of the captains said to me, is it a sad day for you or a happy day for you? He said, how do you feel about letting go of this prized possession? He said, you've maintained it like a showroom condition. Everyone knows my boats are maintained as though they're new. I make them better than when I get them. Well, I said to him, it's an interesting question. He said, are you going to talk about that tonight, about letting go of possessions? I said, you know, it'd be a good topic. So I will open that question up as well to the political here on the Savage Nation to keep your mind swirling. Have you ever gotten rid of a car, a house, a boat, a stamp collection, a coin collection, or anything else? Sold it. And how did you feel after you sold it? How did you feel after you sold your prized possession? Were you elated? Were you sad? Or did you have a mixture of both feelings? Because I had sort of that bittersweet feeling as I watched it go off into the distance, disappearing off the horizon in the San Francisco Bay. It's a huge chunk of my life that's gone. But I'm letting go of a lot of things, including North Beach. It's like that ship sailing away.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It's an interesting day. I don't know where the boat is right now. I'm trying to imagine. It's 12 hours, 10 hours down the coast, 10 knots. They had a fuel. 100 miles down the coast. Pulled in somewhere. Probably pulled into a Half Moon Bay. I don't know where they are. It's an interesting ride running down the California coast this time of year in October. It's one of the most beautiful passages you could imagine. You don't have to go to the Mediterranean. Just go off the California coast. What's intriguing to me is that most of the politicians in the state have never been on the bay. I swear to God, I knew a mayor of San Francisco, a politician in San Francisco, who was born here, who has never been on the bay. I swear to God. It's like Barbara Boxer, the environmentalist, who has never hiked up Mount Tamalpais, I would imagine. But they certainly speak for the people of the state of California, you understand. So here I am, an interloper from New York, you know, an out-of-towner. Even though I came here in 1974, you know what I think about the native sons. I'll tell you about it one day. They vary as much as New Yorkers do. Where you're born has nothing to do with who you are. It's who you are, not where you were born, as far as I can tell. Nevertheless, the boat is gone, and it's down the coast. It's going to go to Ensenada. They're going to shrink wrap it, ship it through the canal, Fort Lauderdale, and out to the Caribbean where the man lives. And I don't think I'm going to buy another boat. I just don't want another. I don't want the responsibility. You know what it is? It wasn't the boat. It was the maintenance of the boat. And you know what I mean by the maintenance? It was managing the people who you hire to do things, whether it be go out with you on the boat, varnish the wood, polish the hull, service the engines. You have no idea what it's like dealing with people who have attitudes larger than Barack Obama's ego. There's something odd about the blue-collar industry in the state of California that is amazing, because you can get workers in Florida on boats that are very happy to make their hourly wage and they do their job. And they're mainly islanders, interestingly enough. Jamaicans are very prevalent in the maintenance of the boats down there. They do a great job, and they don't go out of their way to make people crazy. In California, you have attitudes that are sick, just sick, and I got fed up with it. I got fed up with putting up with the illegal alien washers who try to rape me every time they washed my boat. I got fed up with the mechanics who may believe they were my friend and basically rape me on the bills. I'll go down the list for you. I just got fed up with the people going out on the boat with me. Just the whole thing. It was enough already. So I'm reduced to a rowboat, which is fine. It'll be better for my health. Or I won't go out at all. I had my boating experience. Well, to be continued, I can tell you in 2 months I've changed my mind again. So how do you feel about that today? We got big things today. The House of Ill Repute just voted again now, and they also voted to blow up the debt ceiling to any level they want it to be, because you don't seem to understand something. What the U.S. government just did today is what U.S. corporations do every day of the week. Do you understand that most U.S. corporations are running on pure debt? That even if they produce a product, it doesn't matter whether they're making a profit. The people who've taken over the structure of American corporate thinking or economics of the American corporation don't care about profit and loss. They don't care about products produced. They don't care about any of it. All they care about is how much debt that they can acquire. And now they've taken that corrupt model and applied it to the United States itself. It's a reverse engineering of the mentality that has plagued our corporate CEOs. The CEOs don't care so much about the quality of the product or the balance sheet. What they care about is how much debt they can acquire. Do you understand that? Don't think I don't understand any of this because I'm a mere talk show host. Because if I wanted to, I could run a $5 billion corporation, and I'd probably run it at a more profitable level with a better product than most of the people running them today. But I choose to be in talk radio. That's where I choose to apply my creativity and my brain, and that's where I am, and that's where I stay. If I had a life to live all over again, you know what I'd probably do? I'd open a shipyard. I don't actually like being on boats as much as I do like watching them being built. Would you believe it? Maybe I should go buy a shipyard somewhere in Holland. That might be fun. Except my grandfather wasn't a shipbuilder. He was a tailor. I don't think I know the first thing about building a ship. 855-407-282 is the phone number. What did you feel when you sold your whatever, car, house, boat, coin, stamp collection. Let's go to a few of the callers on that, and then my idea on default, whether you think give default a chance is a good idea. I do. We're going to only face it again in 2 months. I say give default a chance. What do you think? WABC, Tim, thanks for calling. You're on the Savage Nation.
You know, Michael, you're asking who is the winners and who is the losers in this.
Oh, get out of here. You're the communist from Vermont. I don't want to. I like your voice. Sounds like it sounds like chalk on a blackboard. I don't want to listen to you. Go call MSNBC. Ask one of the girls to cry in your tea with you. WMAL, Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
That was pretty good. Hey, thanks.
Well, I recognize this voice. He's a hater of anything American. Anything perverse or anti-American, he loves. I didn't want to hear him, that's all. I'm not in the mood. So what's on your mind, Joe?
I think you're wrong on Senator Cruz. And I don't think he's over. I don't think he's done. And I think each day, as more and more people see how much or hear about how much this Obamacare is going to cost them and wonder where on earth they're going to get the money to pay for it, they're just going to remember that there was that one guy that was standing up trying to stop it, but they got eviscerated by everyone else.
All right, so it's like Mr. Smith goes to Washington. You know what? I hope you're right. I hope he's strong. I hope he stays. But I'm a pragmatist. Knowing how corrupt the American political system is and how devastating the American media can be to a man because I have faced their hubris and their evil, I don't think that you're right. I hope you're right, by the way. I think we need a Ted Cruz. I certainly do think we need a Ted Cruz. But I don't know that this Ted Cruz is the Ted Cruz that we need. Thank you for the call. I'm contemplating something because I told you at the beginning of the week that at the 30 mark of each hour this week I'd be playing or rather reading a story from Train Tracks, my new paperback of the family stories for the holidays. You know, Fat Al's Tuna, Dead Man's Pants, the stuff you've all been hearing about. The one I wanted to play for you tonight, I don't think I'm going to play An American Gangster in Spain. Maybe we'll save it for tomorrow night because I think you're so keyed up on the Kentucky kickback that you learned about tonight. And who was the big winner and who was the big loser? And is Ted Cruz stronger or weaker? That maybe tomorrow we can play some of the stories from Train Tracks. Not tonight, or I can read them for you. You know which is a great story in there? The Speculator in a Garden of Numbers. It was about a bookstore dealer in New York City who goes into the futures game against his friend's knowledge because he's sort of a left-winger. And he invests his entire fortune in cocoa futures and loses everything. I thought that that's a classic. It's a great story. It's worthy of a Guy de Maupassant short story, those of you who know literature. Speaking of news, views, and reviews, I saw a great movie the other night, and it's going to bring us right back to this whole governmental issue we're facing tonight. It was an obscure French movie on TCM. Actually, it's one of my favorite channels, even though I despise Ted Turner's politics. I think TCM is one of the best channels for late-night television. I actually enjoy these old movies. One of them was a French, they're running French retro movies, like from the 50s and 60s. So they ran a black and white, I guess they call it cinema verite, to sound sophisticated the other night, called The Pickpocket. And it was amazing. It's about the life of a well-dressed man who's totally impoverished, lives in a garret, but he makes his entire meager existence by stealing wallets out of people, you know, on trains and in the buses and on the streets. And as the movie develops, he learns new tricks from other pickpockets and other pickpockets. It was astounding to watch the deftness of the fingers that were shown in the film. And it was by a very, very powerful director who no one remembers, who Jean-Luc Godard looked up to. Some of the great French directors after him, Truffaut, Godard, studied this man and said he was a master, and he was a master. He reminds me of me in talk radio. I'm like this obscure French director who people will say this guy was astounding. How come no one ever heard of him except his devout audience? Well, that's why I like these offbeat pieces of art. So to make a long story short, I watched the whole movie on The Pickpocket, and there's no moral to the story other than as he went along in his pickpocketing, he learned how to do it even better and better and picked more pockets and became a little more affluent. And I said, you know, it reminds me of Harry Reid. The pickpocket reminds me of Nancy Pelosi. The pickpocket reminds me of Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, Senator Schumer, and all of the other Democrats who are simply picking the pockets of the American people more deftly on a daily basis, and then congratulating themselves for having achieved what they always wanted, which was to pick as many pockets as they wanted without any police oversight. Get it? See, you can learn from anything. All you got to do is be open-minded. Open heart, open mind. Just keep your old mind open and you can see the world as it really is. Today I was out on my bicycle in the morning, and an older Italian gentleman, I didn't know he was Italian, nor that he was a gentleman, came up to me and he said to me, "Are you who I think you are?" Now I don't usually answer that question, because he wasn't exactly smiling, nor did he have a bouquet of flowers in his hand. And it could have been someone who hated me. He said, "Are you who I think you are?" I said, "Who might that be?" See, I had a Russian grandmother. So he said to me, "Are you the radio guy?" I said, "It could be. What is it that you'd like? What is it you'd like to know?" He said, "I just wanted to congratulate you for your positions." I said, "You mean my positions calling Obama for what he is, a worldwide internationalist who hates America?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I don't know what we're going to do." And we went on and on for a few minutes. "Do you think that man is alone in his perceptions?" He said, "Well, I'm Italian. My parents were born in Italy, but I was born here." I said, "Listen, my friend." I said, "My father was born in Russia, but I was born here. And we see the world as it really is, not as the people around us seem to think it is. Most of them are on drugs and don't know reality to begin with." And he shook his head. And on that note, I'll take a quick break and be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We've been locked in a fight over here, trying to bring government down to size, trying to do our best to stop Obamacare. We fought the good fight. We just didn't win. You know, every time I've gotten into a discussion with the president, vice president, the Democrat here in Washington.
Boehner's a malarkey thrower. Go have a scotch on me, John. It's out of The Sopranos or Boardwalk Empire. You know, leave a word. Come on. It's a one-party system, two-card Monty. The proof, if you wanted it, if you think my cynicism is a little too harsh for you, pardon me. But when I read tonight, when the deal was finally struck, that the gobbler, the man who looks like a turkey with the gullet, Mitch McConnell, I try to remember people by how they look because I'm a caricaturist in some ways. You can caricature me if you want. The New Yorker did. It's not that complimentary. Go look at the bottom of michaelsavage.com. You'll see what they made me look like a gnome. So I call Mitch McConnell the gobbler because he looks like a turkey with the gobbler neck. The gobbler made believe he meant it, but the gobbler was holding out for as much as he could get. And Harry Reid congratulated him. He gave the gobbler $2 billion pork barrel project for Kentucky. So you're going to believe that they were sincere? Don't be silly. No, this all has a very bad ending. It has a very, very bad ending. Yaakov on WABC, what do you think? You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, how are you? The point, when I look at the government, it's a little bit similar like an airline. They have planes, people, airports, billions of dollars. All of the airlines, American-based airlines, half of them are off the market, bankrupt. Even the big ones, still in market, bankrupt, and they're now in better shape. American Airlines, a year ago, they said, "We're never going to go bankrupt." They went bankrupt a few months ago. Now, everything is getting better. So what's wrong?
So what? Yeah, they go bankrupt, and they borrow more money and build new airplanes. How does that work?
You see, it works perfectly fine. They go bankrupt, and then they have a successful company.
Oh, what you're saying is they wipe out their debt by going bankrupt. In the scheme that I was mentioning to you yesterday, they don't pay their creditors, or they pay them 10 cents on the dollar.
Or they settle, exactly. That's
so that's why you're agreeing with me that we should consider defaulting on our debt and paying China, for example, is probably our biggest debt holder, 10 cents on the dollar. What would be wrong with that idea?
That's how the world works. Yeah, exactly.
So what would be wrong with doing that? I mean, China outmaneuvered us by undervaluing the yuan, by dumping products below the cost of manufacturing to put our manufacturers out of business. And if all is fair in love and war, I would say that it's okay to default and then put tariffs on their goods.
Unless you have that feel-good liberal inside you, that's fine.
Well, I don't have a feel-good liberal inside of me, except when it relates to dogs and flies. I mean, I like dogs, and I let flies out of a window. I don't tend not to crush them, and I don't step on ants. Yaakov, so you're enjoying the whole picture, huh? Because you can see it for what it is, a charade.
I don't have too much time to enjoy, but, yeah.
Well, thanks for the cosmic view. Thanks for the cosmic view. Oh, boy, what a day. This is not a day that will live in infamy. It's just another day in American history. It's that simple. The Senate passed it. The House passed it. They're all going out to dinner tonight. Everybody made a fortune off this, except the people who actually stood up for something. And they'll be considered the yucks and the idiots. They'll be put down behind the scenes because the media is already spinning in overdrive how bad they are and un-American they are for actually being too American, for standing up for fiscal sanity. They were insane. For loving America, they hated America. For believing in something, they believed in nothing. They believed only in themselves. It's amazing what these yokels from journalism schools can come up with. But if you're an observer of reality as I am, that's the reality that I see. It's that simple. Maybe I'm not, an idealist anymore. Maybe I haven't been an idealist since I'm 4 or 5 years old. I can't help it. Hello, this is Michael Savage. Not an idealist anymore. Haven't been for an awful long time. I didn't get to read you from Train Tracks, Family Stories for the Holidays, my new paperback, but maybe tomorrow we'll do some of the stories. I was going to either do an American Gangster in Spain, Hubris in the First Sailboat, or, it's really a cute one, which is, I can't do it, so why tell you about it? Well, it's to have you go and look up some of the stories like Slum Dialect. It's, it's one page long, I'll read it, from Train Tracks. How I Learned to Speak is very intriguing. Given that I am an immigrant son, my father emigrated from Russia when he was 7 years old, and he had a slight accent, but not a very pronounced one. Having grown up in the tenements of the Bronx, I had somewhat of a slum dialect until I went to college. I remember entering Speech 101. I was asked to give a speech. We were told to listen to recordings of Winston Churchill and Franklin Delano Roosevelt as examples of two of the great speakers of the time. I was ashamed to speak publicly. I had a private conference with my speech teacher. He was a very nice man. He said to me, "Michael, you have a wonderful speaking voice." I said, "But I say dem and those and das and that." He said, "Don't worry about that," he said. "Just speak and eventually that will be forgotten." And that's how I learned to dare speak in front of groups, where I got the confidence to speak publicly. That is how I learned to give speeches, through the confidence given to me by this wonderful speech teacher at Queens College of the City University of New York. I always had a great speaking voice. Going back to the first grade, I was made the announcer. Why? I was the only kid in my class with a blue suit. God bless my mother. She bought me a blue suit, white shirt and tie. So the teacher said, "Because you have a suit, you're going to be the announcer." I'll never forget getting up in front of that audience. I love the feeling of looking at all those kids staring at me. I guess you might say I was born to lead audiences. That's the whole story. So I try to write an American short story book called Train Tracks, and I think I achieved it. Some of them are really good. Some of them are like little songs. Some of them are like little compositions that you might hear in a jazz club. They're not like ordinary stories in that regard, but they're good, and they're written tightly and concisely. And I'm proud of it. It's a great little book. And here I am sitting on radio so many decades later, a man who was afraid to speak, ashamed to speak, because he thought he had a slum dialect. Well, I guess it worked for me. Because here I am, and when I first started in radio in 1994 on a local station, many people said, "You'll never make it, because you sound like you're too much from New York." Well, I can't help it, because that's where I'm from. Everyone is from somewhere. And it's better that I sound like I'm from New York than I sound like John Boehner, or that I'm from Indonesia, or from Kenya. At least that's how I see it. And as I go out tonight, all I can say is it's a very sad day in America to see that the two gangs won again.
Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, you made it to Wednesday, and you made it to hour number 3 of The Savage Nation for October 16th, 2013. You know the big news. The big news is that Obama and the big government, the big socialist government, the welfare state has won, and the opposition party folded because, truthfully, they're really no different. It's a one-party system. How do I know that? Well, I've known it for at least 20 years that it's an oligarchy. And here's what the oligarchs got. McConnell, who is allegedly a Republican, got $2 billion for Kentucky, for his home state, in order to give in to Reid. You hear this? So it's the same as ever. What else is new here? And the big loser, as far as I'm concerned, is Ted Cruz. America hates losers. They love winners. Ted Cruz staked his future on this. He got a lot of publicity, but I don't think he's going anywhere from here. That's my guess. That's my guess. The Republican Party may be finished, but they're not going anywhere. It's as simple as that. It's like trying to get rid of something that's there. There's too much there for them to go away. It's not happening. And so the two-party system charade goes on. The one-party government goes on. And I called for Plan C, not the Democrat plan, which is Plan A, which they got, not the Republican plan, which is Plan B, which they didn't get, but Plan C, which is the savage plan, which is called, why not default on the debt? Why not let the Chinese pound sand? And we talked about that tonight. How about a standing ovation for Michael Savage's idea of defaulting? Why? This is happening again. They're just kicking the can down the road. It's going to come up very soon all over again. And we've got to be ready to simply shut her down by declaring default, saying we're not paying, we can't pay. In other words, we become Argentina. We're Argentina anyway, in many ways. In many ways. And what do we lose by this? I'll tell you all about it right on the Savage Nation. There are many other stories, many, many other stories. And Obama is not happy with just jamming this down our throats. Obamacare, unlimited printing of money. He now vows amnesty for the 50 to 60 million illegal aliens and their families, which will be the last blow that America can ever take. You will never recover from the flood of illegal aliens. Mark my words. If he is not stopped on this, America is finally over. I am the son of an immigrant, but no nation on earth that is bankrupt as we are can take in 11, 12, 30, 50 million, you pick the number, illegal aliens, half of whom are going to be dependent on the government. How do you pay for that, fools? How do you pay for that, you fools? Now let's go to michaelsavage.com so you can learn what I really think about some of these topics. In New York, there's an election going on as we speak. Let's pray to God de Blasio loses. Not only is he a crackpot leftist of the lowest order, but now he's promised Muslims he'll end spying on them and their mosques. What? You mean you're going to spy on nuns in churches, you fool? Savage moving to drive time, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, on the biggest stations in the country, beginning in January. So all of you naysayers who think that I'm marginal, wait until January. We'll see who's laughing now. As we speak, the madman in the White House says he's now going to tomorrow begin pushing for amnesty for 11, 24, 35, 50 million illegal aliens. You cannot believe the madness of this president of ours. This is a man out of control. He's a runaway train. His ego is out of control. His madness is out of control. His narcissism is out of control. Who would wreck a country like this in the name of a radical leftist internationalist agenda and keep pushing and pushing and pushing unless he wanted to trigger a civil war? The people can only take so much. People will snap. They cannot take this. Listen to the big lie in clip two from President Obama.
This is not just a Latino issue. This is an American issue. We know our economy will grow faster if immigration reform passes. We know businesses will do better if immigration reform passes.
What?
We know that the deficits will be reduced.
Are you crazy?
Immigration reform passes because people coming out of the
All right, let's stop here. Do you actually believe that when Obama says these things, he believes a word of them? I don't really want to talk about it. You know he's lying. You know he's lying. It's as simple as that. And here are the questions of the day. Who was the big winner? Who was the big loser? Is Ted Cruz stronger or weaker? Who was the big winner in this big budget battle? Who was the big loser in this big budget battle? And is Ted Cruz stronger or weaker? Because this is going to come up again in a very short period of time. They've just kicked the can down the road for a few months. It's going to come up again in a few months. And when it does, I suggest that they let we default on our debt, period. We default on our debt for reasons I've explained. And don't think I'm just saying it for effect. I've studied the issue. I believe there are strong arguments to be made for default, historical models. Who was the big winner? Who was the big loser? Is Ted Cruz stronger or weaker? And should we default on our debt? The phone number is 855-400-7282. So I have a simple answer for all of these rats, these bums, these thieves, these crooks, these Sopranos, these Don Corleones, these little mini Don Corleones. Give the fault a chance. Give the fault a chance. We have financial cancer in America, and Obama's the worst possible doctor we could ever have in charge of the operating room. Give the fault a chance. It's going to come up again and again and again. What do you think? Number two, who's the big winner? Who's the big loser? Is Ted Cruz stronger or weaker? This is the Savage Nation. As promised, the most skeptical show in radio, but don't think I just make this up out of whole cloth for effect. Has anyone else in the media discussed with you giving the fault a chance? The answer is no. No, they're all either A or B. Shut her down, don't shut her down. That's A, that's B. That's two-dimensional. I'm giving you a three-dimensional look at the picture. And in the X-ray crystallography of the spine of America, I see a cancer. And I say give the fault a chance. Agree or disagree? Let's begin on KSFO in San Francisco. Steve, welcome from my home station. What's on your mind?
Well, firstly, let's set the record straight that Don Corleone and Tony Soprano had some virtue, and these people have absolutely no virtue.
Well, I don't know whether they're drugged or what's wrong with them. Do they actually believe people are going to not see that Mitch McConnell, so-called Republican, held out for a $2 billion pork barrel construction project in his home state? They don't see this?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Some people see what they're shown. Some people don't see.
So in your mind, is Ted Cruz the winner or a loser? A winner or a loser?
Cruz is a big loser.
Why?
Well, because a week or so ago, he was at the center of an ostensibly impassioned filibuster.
Yes.
And today, I look at the guy, and he's a milquetoast character.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you. You're a very observant guy. It sounds like you're a friend of mine disguising your voice. You see the world the way I do. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Oh, I'm back. I was playing my ukulele. Welcome to the Savage Nation. The worst curse that could happen to America now would be immigration reform, because that's the end of America as we know it. Pelosi, okay, we can't miss that. That's always good for a laugh.
Do not allow the Fed of the United States of America.
No, who is that?
Shut down the government.
I don't know, it looks like her, but a little heftier. They're all the same. A little on the hefty side. Who is that one? Nina Lowry or whatever? Why do they look so bad? Why do these women get such horrendous looks from being in Congress, hanging around with these? It's horrible. It's bad enough what happens to all of us as we get older. I mean, time and gravity unto itself are enough to make you not want to go on. But becoming a politician? It's the closest thing to suicide I can imagine as a lifestyle. Lying, cheating, and stealing every minute of your life. And believing that people respect you when they hate your guts. So I go back to my main question. Who is the big winner? Who is the big loser? Is Ted Cruz up or down? I mean, my feeling is Ted Cruz is toast. I said that a week or two ago. I liked Ted Cruz for a long while, and it's not that I don't like him because of this. I felt he was going to go by the way of Michelle Bachmann. About a month ago, I saw where this was going, and it wasn't over the shutdown necessarily. It was his, what's the word for it, when you jump out ahead of everyone else? Grandstanding. I felt that his grandstanding was going to be his undoing, and I believe I'm correct. I don't know who the big winner is here. People will say Obama is the big winner. I'm not so sure of that. I believe he has misspent his party's capital, and the American people hate Democrats more now than ever in American history. It doesn't mean they like Republicans. I didn't say that. But they hate the party of Obama. They hate them. I can prove it to you in many different ways. What do you think? Jeanette on WABC. Go ahead. Who's the big winner here?
To me, the big winner is definitely Obama and maybe Germany. But I think the big loser, I want to answer your questions, the big loser are the American people. And
very good. Now, what do you mean by Germany? I didn't follow that. Why would you say Germany's the big winner?
Well, because our currency will be extinct pretty soon if Obama... I do agree with you. We should default because you can't go. We just can't go on. It's astronomical.
That's right. In other words, how is this beast going to be fed in 3 months, in 6 months, in 9 months? Where is the new money going to come from? Higher taxes? There's a limit to that. If they taxed we, the working people, at 110% of our income, they still couldn't feed this beast for very long. The beast would still demand more. So the beast has to stop devouring everything in its path. And the only way to do that is default on our debt. That's my analysis, Jeanette. So what? What's the big what? What do you mean? We can't borrow after that? Nonsense. They'll line up around the JFK with their private jets to lend us money because they got no one else to lend it to. What do you mean they wouldn't lend us the money? And what is China going to do with its products? What do you think they're going to do? Stop selling them to us? They'll come begging us to buy their crap. And the Koreans will come begging us to buy their Hyundais if we defaulted on any of the sovereign debt with Korea. We'd say to them, sorry, don't have the money, can't help you. And by the way, we're putting a tariff on your cars, too, because we want to put our men back to work here in the United States of America. We want our assembly lines running again. We want to see Detroit vibrant again. We're putting a tariff on every car manufactured outside this country. Sorry, buddy, you don't like it? Go find another market. I am telling you that that's the way to cure the patient. Thanks for the call. One man's opinion. What do you think? What do you think? It's that simple. Andrew on WABC, go ahead, please.
I do think I disagree with you on the default. I'll explain why, but I think Ted Cruz was a big winner, and he actually reminded me of you today. I heard the audio on the radio, the CNN news anchor. They were playing Cruz, and they're like, quick, cut to the other camera, because Cruz was telling the truth, and he stood up like a man, and he told the truth about Obamacare. He wasn't just a go-along politician.
Smart. Well, here's the problem. You don't understand. I'm not saying he's a bad man. I don't think I made my point clear enough. As a result of him taking on the established criminal enterprise called the U.S. government, they have vilified him. Just as I was vilified and I'm banned from entering Britain, never forget that. Not for what I said, but for what I allegedly said and for spliced sound bites, I am still banned from entering England. Once a person is castigated by the media, it's almost impossible to come back from that position.
You're right, and I agree with your premise of bankruptcy, like Mitt Romney brought out in the campaign. Detroit should have a structured bankruptcy. The government could pay the salaries while they restructure. But that's the logical thing to do, but I don't see the politicians correcting themselves. They're just going to keep spending and spending and spending. So that's the only disagreement I have with
you. Well, look, the problem is that Romney had a champagne campaign, which I just made up on the spot, wanting to sound like Jesse Jackson. And I think his champagne campaign undid him. But I'll tell you this, since you brought up the magical name of Romney, you want to hear another prediction on the Savage Nation right now? I will predict that the dumb, stupid Republican Party will run Romney again and lose all over again against Hillary. That's my prediction. But let's not go into that. Do you think Cruz still has any political capital after this castigation by the media and by his own party?
I do, but the point that you brought out with the media attacking him, it's hard to overcome when they gang up on you.
That's right. Once they've made him into a terrorist, an Al-Qaeda, a nut, or this. Now, remember, this guy was the editor of the Harvard Law Review. He's an immigrant son. He has everything that America is supposed to respect. He's a Latino, yet they spit on him because he's not a useful idiot Latino. It's the same with any other minority. If they step out of the Socialist Party line, they're no longer a minority. Look what they did to Alan West. So the point is that they have made him into what he isn't. They've put devil's horns on him. They have, in essence, turned him into a non-American. I don't think he can come back from this. Now, he'll always have a following. He'll always be very popular with a rather, I would say, almost small number of Americans. Will always love him and revere him. I don't think he is a viable national politician. That's the problem here. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think he's going to go too far after this. What we saw as a result of this is that the midstream, mainstream, middle-of-the-road sellouts are very much in power, and they're not about to give up their power. Let me tell you a story, you and everyone else listening to the one and only Savage Nation. Many years ago, when I was a local talk show host, I was invited to Washington. It was a very big honor for me, I got to tell you. Do you know which congressman from California? It's when there were still Republican congressmen from California. And it was the singer who had become a congressman, Sonny Bono, right. Sonny Bono invited me to, I was a real hot, you know, firebrand conservative on KSFO at the time, making big waves. It was a lot of fun. I was invited to Washington, and I went to the dining room, the congressional dining room. We had lunch with everyone. It was very thrilling for me. I'd never actually been there. It was when there was still hope in the state of California before it became an outright a socialist hellhole, a socialist prison is what the state's become, with broken roads and broken infrastructure and a one-party, one-newspaper system where every day is the same propaganda about the glorious great state of California, which is still bankrupt, by the way, and they tell you that it's everything's coming up roses. They're taxing the middle class out of this state. So I go to Washington, went to dinner, congressional dining room, and then we went to a private meeting behind closed doors, and I don't know who the gentleman was. It was one of the older guard Republicans, like an old walrus type. And he said to some of the young Turk Republicans, I'll never forget this as long as I live. He said, now, wait a minute. Listen to me, sonny boy. He said, you vote along the lines that we all want to go, or you're going to go out in the cold and you'll never come back. And he said, let me tell you something else. It's awfully cold out there, and once we throw you out there, you'll never, ever be back in the warmth of this particular club. He said that while I sat there. I will never forget it. But that's how the real world works. And make no mistake about it. The Republican club versus the Democrat club is how this government runs, which is why America is broken. Because we have two clubs, not two parties, no representation of the people, taxation without representation. Representation is what we have. We have a civil war brewing in this nation. Let's pray to God it remains a sub rosa civil war. But I predict if Obama continues on his megalomaniacal, narcissistic, left-wing fanatical agenda, well, I'll stop right there. I predict nothing.
Savage.
This was one of the greatest disgraces in American history. When you see that the Republican Party, for example, and everyone's bashing them, but let's give you some specifics. McConnell made believe he was fighting the good fight. He held out for a $2 billion pork barrel construction project for his home state of Kentucky. $2 billion, the Olmsted Lock and Dam Authority, Energy and Water Development. It's right out of many movies about corruption we've seen in our many TV series about corruption that are currently ongoing. This is naked corruption. This is something out of Huey Long. This is something out of, it's just something out of the corrupt playbook, and it's McConnell getting it from Reid. I want you to listen to Reid now congratulating McConnell for selling out. Listen.
For his diligent efforts to reach this important agreement, Republican leaders' cooperation was essential to reach an accord that could pass both chambers of Congress and also be signed by President Obama. As part of our agreement, in order to assure Congress continues the work of setting this country on a path.
All right, so that's Harry Reid thanking his good friend Mitch McConnell for accepting a $2 billion construction project for his home state of Kentucky. What more do you need to know? This is right. This is life imitating art. This is a movie about America in its darkest moments. This is a movie yet to be made about when America was taken over by a group of gangsters who still put on an act after they pillaged the treasury, still pretended that they were good people, still pretended they were ladies and gentlemen. It's like icing on a cake filled with cyanide. It's like icing on a cake filled with a poison. And yet we see the bakers out there still putting icing on this cake, telling us to come have a slice. Who's the winner? Who's the loser? Who's the winner? Who's the loser? Let's go to WSYR in Syracuse, New York. Jada, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. The American people are the losers. We're not playing with a full deck. We're only playing with half a deck. And just imagine playing a game of match with your child, okay? You know the deck's rigged. There are no matches in the game. You can't win. You're sitting there snickering, acting like a teenager sitting there trying to win over this kid. And you know that they...
Well, that's right, because it's a one-party oligarchy. There is no two-party system. We just saw that. McConnell pretended to be fighting, and he got a $2 billion pork barrel construction project for his home state. What does that tell us?
Exactly. I mean, if you're an American and have half a brain, you know that this was the outcome that was going to come out. The Republicans were going
to... I want to go back to my little grass shack in Kealakeakua, Hawaii. No, I'm just joking. I may as well just play the ukulele on the show as much as listen to the politicians talk. That's as much as I think of them. I'd rather have a ukulele instructor give lessons on my show than listen to Ted Cruz give another speech. That's what I can say. This country is suffering from financial cancer. Let's put aside every other issue. Financial cancer is the disease, and Obama is not the oncologist for the job, in my opinion. Pat, on WMAL in Washington, D.C., what's on your mind?
I just wanted to say, on your cancer comment, I disagree with you. Obama's not the oncologist. Obama is the host.
Oh, God. You're saying Obama is not the oncologist trying to cure the financial cancer. He is actually disseminating the cancer?
Yeah, he's the cause.
Well, we'll let it go at that. It's interesting what people will say, and how can we account for everyone's opinion? We can. It's a large country with an awful large number of people. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. Well, we still are. We're not yet living in Stalin's Soviet Union. But give it time. Give fascism a chance, because it's just around the corner with the gathering of the ideas and the emails and the buddy lists. Give it a chance. Very soon we'll all be in the ex-Soviet Union. I don't know who Obama's Berrier would be, but everyone has their Berrier, and Stalin had his secret guy who ran the whole show, and in the end did him in. I don't know who that would be. I think I know. I think it's something to do with a rusty axle, but I'm not sure on that. Remember that you're talking to a talk show host that right now is on in the Siberia of radio. I took the Siberia time slot for a year now. It'll be a year this October 22nd that I've been in this time slot. Actually, I started in November, I think, just before the election. It'll be a 1 year. But come January, I go into the mainstream. I go into drive time on the East Coast and all the big stations in the country, 200 stations by count right now. And my signature will be not only my insights and my education, my ability to back my points of view with the facts, but also some of my stories. Everyone loves the storytelling. And once this debate of the debt is over, we'll have to go back to regular programming. And though people have been going on and on about this, we won't have anything left to say, but I will have plenty to say. So I want to play a one-minute piece for you now from Train Tracks, my paperback book. And it's what I've seen in my lifetime. Let's play it. Times in my life. You won't believe this. And here they are. Look what I have seen in my lifetime. I want to show you how long I've been around this planet so you're going to get a feeling of what I've seen in my lifetime. 1. Superman defeated by every man in World War II. 2. The first atomic bomb used in warfare. The establishment of the State of Israel. The popularization of television. This is all in my lifetime. The popularization of air conditioning. The popularization of air travel. The popularization of the personal computer. The invention of the Internet, the assassinations of John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, and Martin Luther King, Jr. I've seen the complete integration of blacks and whites. I've seen the development of mass welfare for unproductive citizens. I've seen the destruction of America's judicial system by corrupt lawyers. I've seen the meltdown of America's borders. I've seen the self-genocide of America's European-American majority through a mass abortion and mass tolerance of diverse sexualities. I've seen the acceptance of narcotics. I've seen the debasement of religion. I've seen the takeover of corporations by gamblers and con men. I've seen the elimination of grades in many schools. I've seen the introduction of racial quota systems. I've seen the impeachment of a president. What will I see in the future? Well, that's for you to decide, not me.
Savage.
All right, so I'm an American, period. And that's what I've lived through. Those are some of the broad strokes of my view of the world, and now I actually could add to that and say I've seen the first ascent of a socialist to the White House, because there's no question that that's what's happened, and we don't even understand it because of the socialists in the media who won't even express reality to you, let alone will not stop debasing you if you dare say what's obvious to anyone who studied history. Everything I was warned would happen to America when a foreign government took over this country is happening under Obama. I want you to think about that. Everything that men older than me fought for in World War II to stop from happening in this country is happening in this country right now, which is why the man closed down the World War II Veterans Memorial, which is why the man who hates the military closed down the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, because the women around them hate the military. They despise them. They spit on them. They call them names. and yet he gave out a Medal of Honor. And that was, of course, because of the unpopularity and the fact that people finally saw through him. The people saw the people in the military who were basically loyal and devoted and good, some of whom have been hoodwinked into thinking of Democrats are their friends. They realized the poll numbers were in the garbage. The poll numbers amongst Democrats were in the toilet. They were going to be thrown out in droves for what they did at those memorials. And so they got their front man out, and they gave out a Medal of Honor to some poor guy who did his heroic act in 2009, Teddy. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So it's the world according to Michael Savage. It's one man's opinion. Don't take it to the bank. It's what I believe to be true. My job is to be provocative. My job, like any good college teacher, is to say things that shock you into listening, reacting, and calling me. And arguing with me. You don't have to call me names because I'll hang up on you. If you call me and you tell me why my idea is wrong, go ahead, I'll give you the floor. If you start cursing or being stupid, I'm not going to have a discussion with you. Hell is a place where there is no reason. I choose not to go to hell. So the mainstream corrupt parties in France are shaking in their croissants because of a decisive victory by the FN, the National Front, in an election in a small town in the sleepy hinterland of France's Côte d'Azur. And it is led by Marine Le Pen. She is a conservative. And it is a surge by the populist right in European elections, not only in France. And that is shaking the corrupt ministers to their core. That's exactly what's going on in the United States of America. Both parties are afraid of the nationalist intonations, for example, of Rand Paul, even though he never mentions borders, language, and culture, or of Ted Cruz, who never mentions borders, language, and culture. But they're smearing the opposition in America as they're smearing the opposition in France, calling them every name under the sun. But the left-wingers who have seized power in America should be forewarned that the American people know who they are, detest them for what they've done to the country, hate the welfare state, despise the flood of illegal immigrants flooding into the country from third world nations, hate the degeneracy that is being spewed into our children's heads, oppose gun control, oppose high taxes, oppose so many different things, that there's a definite growing movement in America under the surface, a grassroots movement, to use a left-wing phrase, that is bubbling up from the people themselves. And that is based upon the center-right politics of most American people. I know you don't believe it, but that's what every poll shows. The people hate the crime, they hate the immigration, they hate the welfare, they hate the high taxes, they hate the smearing of their culture, not only in France, but in America. And that's why I tell you that there's room in America for a nationalist party, and I will have a big announcement to make when my show moves to primetime, drive time in January. I can't tell you any more about it right now. If I were to run a political party, which I am not doing, it would be based upon this motto, borders, language, and culture. That would be the flag, that would be the banner, that would be the motto of the party. I don't care whether Obama is offering Obamacare in 150 different languages. It just shows you who he is and what he's doing to the country. That's why we need the unifying language called English. We don't need 150 languages. That's the Tower of Babel. And so what's wrong with one language to unify a people? Obama knows what he's doing. Fracture the people. Break them apart. Turn everyone against everyone. Hire translators for 150 languages to give them Obamacare, which they're not even entitled to. Okay, when I say borders, that's pretty obvious what I mean by borders. It doesn't mean that Obama's obeying the law. He isn't. He's breaking law wherever he can. He broke the law by permitting the National Mall to be occupied by illegal aliens. He broke the law by violating the Americans with Disabilities Act by chaining up the two war memorials. So the fact of the matter is, borders are what they are, what they always have been. Not when this left-wing maniac took over the country and wants to erase the borders doesn't mean that they've been erased. Okay, so we know what the borders are. They can be restored with a strong political party. Language, it's English. That's the official language. Learn it or get out. That's all. It's that simple. You want to speak another language? Speak it at home. But the language of the land, the language of business, the language of government is English, period. And if you're too lazy to learn it, then you're not entitled to any benefits. And as far as culture goes, it's a very clear issue, culture. What do I mean by culture? And many people challenge me and say, what do you mean by culture? I thought long and hard about this over the weekend. The culture of America is built upon the Judeo-Christian virtues and values that built this nation. You could say it means the work ethic, and it does. That's part of the culture. Borders, language, and culture. What is the culture? The Judeo-Christian ethic that built the nation. The Judeo-Christian ethic that built the nation. How hard is that to understand? Does that mean there's no room for Buddhism? No. Of course it doesn't mean that. Does that mean there's no room for Hinduism or Islam or Zoroastrianism or Assyrians or any other religion that may be valid in America? No, no one said that. But the core value of our culture, the core values of our culture, are based upon the Judeo-Christian values that most sane people grew up with. Now, the question is, are these values translatable to other religions? Absolutely. Are they restrictive and exclusive? No, they're not actually. They're universal values. The Judeo-Christian values that I'm referring to, break them down to the Ten Commandments. Now show me which commandment violates any of America's laws. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, I think that if you look at my track record over the last 4 years, I have consistently sought compromise, sometimes to the point where Democrats have been mad at me, but I didn't care because I did what I thought was best for the country.
I think it's obvious that we are now seeing the end of this agonizing odyssey that this body has been put through, but far more importantly, the American people have been put through. It's one of the more shameful chapters that I have seen in the years that I've spent here in the Senate.
Well, I rest my case. McCain calling this one of the more shameful chapters. I would say John McCain is one of the more shameful chapters in the history of the Senate, but hey, that's one man's opinion. I'd like you to listen to Warren Buffett, who I consider to be one of the shadiest characters in American history. Now, he has a good act. He has a very good act. The middle-of-the-road man in the sweater with the little car who doesn't really spend his money. Terrific act. I'm very proud of it. It's a fabulous act. But he's in the White House a little too often for me. He's gotten too many sweetheart deals from Obama for me. And he's benefited a little too much for me. And he's also blocking some of the most important energy projects in the country because of his own interests. For example, the Keystone XL pipeline is opposed by Warren Buffett because his railroad cars, one of the companies he owns, they carry oil from Canada to the United States. He does not want the Keystone XL pipeline. Therefore, because he doesn't want it, Obama doesn't want it. Listen to what Warren Buffett said today about the debt ceiling in clip 7.
Well, I am concerned about kicking the can out of the road anyhow. The can should disappear, I mean, in terms of the debt ceiling. You can argue about budgets. That's the job of Congress, to argue about budgets. But the idea that you're going to just reenact this present scenario 2 months from now is crazy. Get rid of the debt ceiling would be the best thing. But enact a long-term debt ceiling with a big number if they want. And then get back to arguing about the other thing.
Do you hear what this man just said with his Holmesy, Jesse Jackson-like garbled voice? Get rid of the debt ceiling? Now, how would you like to get rid of your debt ceiling? The average American worker. Would you like to get rid of your debt ceiling? Would you like to be able to call up your bank? Let's say the bank that holds your credit cards or the bank that's given you a loan, a couple of loans on your property. Would you like to say, hello, Mr. Banker, can you please just get rid of my debt ceiling? Can you let me borrow any amount of money I want, sir? Do you think the banker would say what Warren Buffett just said? So if it doesn't apply to you as an individual, why should it apply to a nation, Warren? The answer to this is that Warren Buffett is not fooling anybody. Warren Buffett should reread his Lincoln, who said you can fool some of the people some of the time and some of the people all the time. But old Warren, you can't fool all of the people all of the time. And let me tell you something else, Mr. Buffett. You can't fool the savage people any of the time. The reason you want the debt ceiling eliminated is because you've never had it so good under this president who does exactly what you want, in my humble opinion. Now listen to clip 8 from old Warren Buffett.
I personally think a majority will do the right thing. before very long. If they don't, they're out of their minds. But I don't think they are. I think they will do the right thing. You either pay your bills or you don't pay your bills. You're either a deadbeat or you're somebody that whose credit can be counted on. And for, like I say, we've built up a wonderful reputation over 237 years. And to have these people blow it would be a terrible mistake.
Did you hear what he just said? Do you believe it? Does that make sense to you? You're either a deadbeat or you're somebody whose credit can be counted on? See, me by raising the debt ceiling, you're suddenly a fine person, Mr. Buffett? You're a deadbeat. What you're doing is, under the current of all of this, is there's a hyperinflation that's being manipulated by the Federal Reserve Bank. You don't have to be an economics genius to know what they're doing. They're artificially keeping interest rates near zero. They're artificially pumping money into the economy in order to buy votes and buy jobs. They're artificially throwing sugar into a diabetic's mouth is what they're doing. Let me put it in another way. If I were a caricaturist, America would be a gigantic, bloated character who is suffering many diseases, including diabetes. Someone whose feet are so large he can hardly walk. His thighs are rubbing together. He's a disgusting, obese individual. And he has diabetes in a very advanced stage. And he goes to the doctor who says to him, why don't you just eat a couple of pounds of sugar a day when you feel tired? It'll give you some energy for a while. And let's just kick that debt ceiling down the road. Let's just raise the debt ceiling as high as we can. Let's not worry about sugar and diabetes. Let's just keep pumping a sucrose into your system. That's what Warren Buffett and Barack Obama's economic policies are based upon.
Savage.